Welcome back here to the Hawk and Crowder Show. Greg Likens filling in for Mark Hockman alongside Channing Crowder as we continue on here. As, my goodness, we've got so much to talk about in the world of the Miami Heat. For more on that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline where we shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. And for more on everything going on with this busy, suddenly off-season for the Heat, Will Manso joins us now, sports director of Local 10. Of course, you can see him during the season as part of Miami Heat television broadcasts on Fox Sports Sun, and follow him at Will Manso on Twitter. Will, a very good Wednesday to you. How's everything going?
Doing well, but like you said, man, it's crazy to keep up with all this Heat stuff. We had these quiet off-seasons a couple of years, and I think we're all catching up and cramming it all in one off-season.
We certainly are. And, Will, I'm going to start here off the beaten path for a second. And I'm sure you probably didn't hear the first segment of the show. And I don't mean to disgust you, but Channing Crowder told us a story how as a 9-year-old, he started his foot on fire, got third-degree burns, and long story short, he needed a skin graft to fix it, and he got it from his butt. And he just showed us a picture of it. He's literally got a butt foot.
He showed you a picture of his butt or of the foot?
I showed him my foot, but it is skin from my butt, Will.
You know, I'm very sorry. I'm going to have to get to the station and listen to the segment right away. I don't know how to react to that.
Emailing it to you right now, Will.
But so literally, Will, there was a skin graft necessary. They took it from his butt. I just learned this out of nowhere. Crowder just absolutely surprised us with this, and he showed us during the commercial break. I just posted on Twitter a picture of it, but he literally has a different shade of skin and got hair growing on it.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So you've got butt hair growing on your foot?
Yeah, it's crazy because the skin, even though it's on my foot, Will, it kept its identity as butt skin. So it still kept the follicles and kept the hair. The science is amazing.
So it's just a random part of your foot. You've kind of got a soft, silky feel to it, I see.
Yeah, man. I rub it sometimes for good luck, like a genie in a bottle.
Oh, man.
Will, thank you for letting us get that out of the way first.
No, now I'm curious. I want to hear the segment and see the picture. But yeah,
it's great. Like Channing,
Greg, I think you tweeted it.
I did. I just tweeted it. You can check that out in a little bit here, Will. All right, let's get down to business. Will, you've been busy covering everything involving the Miami Heat. We want to talk about Jimmy Butler and Hassan Whiteside, all that in a moment. But you were on the scene last night at Miami Senior High School. You spoke to Josh Richardson at the Miami Pro League. What was his reaction to being traded to Philadelphia?
You know, it was a really weird thing to see him because he walked in to this game, and it's in a high school gym at Miami Senior High. There's, you know, a few hundred people there. It was a packed gym, but, you know, it's the intimacy of a high school gym. And the announcer says, hey, there was Jay Richards in the house. And everybody gave him such an ovation, but it's an awkward ovation because, you know, hey, you got traded, you know, and you're not here anymore, and everybody's happy about this Jimmy Butler, and you forget the other side. So when I went over to talk to him, I just said, hey, man, I know you've had a crazy couple of days. He said, no, that's cool. And, you know, I just basically said, what did you think? And he said, I was a little caught off guard, you know. But I think he sat down, you know, he spoke to the Sixers, spoke to their head coach, spoke to Brett Brown, and, you know, he started thinking about what they had, the players they had, playing with Joel Embiid and these guys that are competing for a championship. And he said, you know what, this isn't a bad situation to be in, even though I love Miami, would have loved to stay. As far as the Heat look, you guys probably saw his social media, the post he had. He's very grateful. He was a second-round pick, which we know that that's very hard to succeed in the league as a second-round pick. He gave him a chance right away. He took advantage of that. And he's going to always be grateful. He said, I'm always going to have a part of me that is grateful. He will always have love for the Heat. But I think he's genuinely excited now that it's kind of passed a couple of days to think, man, I'm going to be playing with a team that's got a chance at the title next year. And that's a pretty cool feeling for a young guy who's just entering his prime.
And, Will, Jay Rich, you know, he's a great player. I believe he's going to start for any team he plays on. I believe he can contribute to a championship. But did you want to see a little more of what his ceiling could have been? You know what I'm saying? Did you want to see more of Jay Rich and where he could have been if he did stay with the Heat?
Well, I think, you know what it is, Channing? Yes, number one. The answer is simply yes. But I think the ceiling in many ways is to be kind of Jimmy Butler, except with maybe being more a three-point shooter. You know, Jay Rich, especially remember his rookie year, he was sensational the second half of the year. Then he went through some injury issues. But he's a guy that when he's on the court, He's a very dangerous three-point shooter when he gets in rhythm and gets in that confidence. I think there was a higher ceiling to him, and maybe that ceiling to a lot of people is a Jimmy Butler-type player. You know, a guy who is a two-way player who can play as well defensively as offensively. Did Jay Rich have that window of being a 23-point scorer? You know, I think he could in the right opportunity, but I don't think that obviously is going to be his opportunity in Philly. He's going to be, as you said, one of the cogs of a piece of a championship team, and I think he could absolutely be that. I think he would have continued to progress here. I think he's the kind of guy that was perfect for the Heat culture, really brought into it. But I think he's going to take that with him and succeed wherever he goes. And for now, it's going to be Philly.
Will Mansell, sports director, Local 10, joining us here on 560 WQAM. You also had a chance last night to catch up with Bam Adebayo, Derek Jones Jr., who were participating in the Miami Pro League. How did they look? What'd you learn from that experience? Because I saw some of the clips you posted on social media, Will, and I know it's just a summer league action, but they look pretty good.
I mean, it's incredible to watch, and Channing knows this as a guy who played in the league. You know, and I'm sure you've seen it, Channing. Like, when you're around guys who maybe played, like, college ball, or, you know, they were studs in high school but never made it. And then, you know, you're an NFL player. You've been around NFL players. You stand out. The NFL player in his prime just stands out over anything. So you've got these guys that are – a lot of these guys played internationally, played in college. You know, maybe you're even hanging around trying to make a G League team. You put Derek Jones Jr. and Bam Adebayo out there, and it's a significant leap. And it was fun to watch. I mean, they were put on a show. More than anything, they look in great shape. And what I love about the Heat young players, you know, and Josh was one of them too, is that Bam and Derek haven't stopped working since the end of the season. I mean, I saw Derek the week earlier at a Heat camp, and he said, "I'm here all offseason. I didn't even take a vacation. I'm here. I'm training every day. I'm working out every day." And Bam, who is already kind of a freak of nature physically, looks even bigger and leaner. And they're both excited about their roles. And look, they both get a little nervous when you start hearing trade rumors. And Derek himself said, "For a minute, I thought I was traded, you know, because I read what everyone else read, that I was headed to Dallas." But he said he spoke to people with the Heat, and they said, "Look, we're not moving you. You're here." And that made him feel good, because those guys are working hard. And I think, you know, what Channing was saying about Jay Rich being a piece of a championship team, I think these two guys, when you surround them with star players, and Jimmy's that first step, these guys have the athletic ability, the work ethic to get better, to also be really key contributors on championship-level teams. And I hope we get a chance to see that soon with those two in the near future.
And, Will, with the Whiteside deal, with J.J.'s deal, Waiters' deal, and, you know, being a 500 team, I'm not going to lie, I was one of the people that started to question Pat Riley. Are these last 3 days, is this getting that testament to Pat Riley's genius?
I think so, and I think to the people that were frustrated, and look, a lot of times when I talk about Pat Riley, people think I'm just a homer and I'm just defending Riley, and I get it, you know. I want the Heat to do well. I have a lot of faith that Riley's the guy to make them do well, but he's absolutely screwed up things in the last couple of years in certain moves. He's absolutely made moves that haven't worked out. He's admitted as much, but to admit that someone maybe didn't make moves that worked out for the best isn't to say they've lost it or they can't do it again. It's how you correct those moves. And Pat's been trying for two off seasons to try to get this right. And I think this off season was the one where he finally put his foot down and said, "Screw this, I'm getting something done." And they found a way with a horrendous cap situation to go into the off season and get one of the premier free agents. And think about it. The Knicks went in with $70 million available and couldn't sign a premier free agent. Pat Riley and Andy and Spo, they had no money, strapped up against the tax, all these things, and they end up with Jimmy Butler, move Hassan Whiteside, and are still talking about other moves potentially. I think that should prove to everyone that not only does Pat Riley still have it, but he still has the passion to make sure he's going to go out a winner and not make this a mediocre team.
Yeah, it's been incredible. The first 24 hours of free agency, when you assume that the Heat weren't in position to make any moves, and they've done everything you just described, it's been absolutely phenomenal. Will Mansell joining us here, sports director, Local 10, joining us on QAM. All right, Will, with that being said, Jimmy Butler was convinced to come to Miami for a multitude of reasons. How good do you think he can be as the man working in the Heat culture?
You know, Bam yesterday, when I asked him about it, said he's kind of that junkyard dog on offense and defense. And I think that was a great description, because the one thing you see about Jimmy Butler, and it gets perceived at times as being that he's kind of diva-ish, he has an attitude, but his attitude to me is the attitude that Eric Spoelstra wants in that locker room. What have the Heat been missing the last few years is that alpha. And, you know, Dwayne was the alpha for over a decade when he was in his prime. Then he left, and when he left in that little window of a year and a half, they lost that identity of a leader. And he came back for the last dance. It was a lot of fun, but he came back knowing that I can't be that alpha. Somebody else has to be that lead guy because I'm done. That's it. At the end of the year, I'm going. And he had a great year, and it was a lot of fun, but it left behind his young core still without that identity and that alpha guy. Jimmy absolutely comes in. So right from a personality, locker room, leader perspective, he's going to come in. He's not going to be afraid to tell you you screwed up. He's not going to be afraid to butt heads with his coach for winning reasons, not for diva reasons. He's not going to be afraid to speak up. And when you combine that with a guy who, again, as a two-way player who can play great defense, I think he's a guy that in this Heat system is going to average 21, 22, 23 points a game. Back to that guy you saw in Chicago, facilitate, take the big shot when needed, not be afraid to take that big shot in the moment. I think you get that, and quite frankly, that's what the Heat are missing. I mean, we could talk all day about needing more stars to truly contend for a championship, but this is step one, and it's a huge step in trying to get back to that relevancy of being a championship team.
I'm with you, Will. This was step one, and we know, like, there's no championship next season, but now Jimmy's here. He can pull other free agents. I'm not hating. They were calling me a hater yesterday, Will. I'm not hating, but is Jimmy Butler number one? The guy that comes in, like, even when Wade was here, LeBron came in as one, Wade took a back seat. Is Jimmy Butler the number one option on a championship team?
You know what? Probably not. I think that's fair to say that the number one option, and that's just the way the league is, because how many true number one options are there in the league? You know, like real number one, that, like, you know, that guy who's just going to score 30 a game and take over a game, score 45. I mean, you're talking about it. 10 to 12 at most, and some people may think that's even too long of a list. I look at Jimmy as that next tier of the next 10 or 12. I think he's a top 15, 18 player in the league. But it's very hard to compare to Kawhi Leonard, to those. But, you know, you look at what Kawhi did, though. Could Jimmy Butler, in a situation like if he went to Toronto last year and a Siakam takes that step and a Danny Green is that veteran, Ibaka, and these guys that they had that played these roles, could Jimmy Butler have been that Kawhi-type player? I think so, as far as the leader and the scorer. Now, Kawhi is obviously, I think, at a step above that. But I think Jimmy, with the right core around them, can absolutely be that guy. But you got to get the core. I don't think it's with this core, guys. I don't see Jimmy Butler leading this Heat team to a championship and pulling a Kawhi Leonard. But I think that he's got that skill set that if you combine it with another superstar, you could absolutely be talking about it.
Yeah, and Channing brings up a good point. Will, I think you just described that very well, but I keep just thinking back to the way I felt about this team at 5 o'clock on Sunday, and I just assumed it was going to be, you know, this upcoming season, pretty much the same roster, and they were going to come back and, you know, maybe try to push for the 8th seed, but maybe fall short again. And now this has just infused so much new energy and excitement and, I think, confidence from the Heat fans about what could happen in the future.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, when we were talking before free agency, a group of us over at the station, you know, Clay Ferrell and I and our producer, you know, we were talking about what this team could do, and I said point blank, guys, I think Pat Riley's going to do something big, and I just can't. You saw him in that season-ending news conference and then on draft night. You know, draft night he had that quote that everybody laughed at, you know, there are no obstacles. I mean, there are obstacles, but, you know, you have to deal with them. And I think that was Riley's way of saying, screw it, guys. I'm gonna figure this out. Even if you guys think I'm crazy, I am going to get this done. Andy's a cap guru. He's going to figure this out. We're going to get our guy. And I think the biggest step was, you know, and I think Riley said it last year at the end of the season, the previous year. He said the way the NBA is now, with players really getting say where they go, you have to find a player who wants to play for you. And if Jimmy Butler didn't want to play for the Heat, he wouldn't be here. I mean, there's nothing that the Heat could have forced to do. They could have forced him to sign a long-term contract. The bottom line is Jimmy Butler wanted to be here. Pat Riley identified that, wanted Jimmy Butler to be here, has wanted him for a while, and made it happen. And I think as Heat fans, you have to be excited that if a player wants to be here and they can find a way, they're going to find a way to do it.
Will, was there any tears shed or a moment of silence or sleep missed when you found out Hassan Whiteside is not going to be a Heat player anymore?
You know, I tried to, because I know when I tweeted it out about Hassan and report on the news and the comments you get and the reaction, I get that people are hard on Hassan. But having been around him and, you know, having been there at games and covered him and seen the guy, I know people find this odd. He is kind of a guy that you like when you get to know him. He just can be so moody at times. And when he puts his head down, I know that frustrates people. But he works, man. And he's gone. To me, I always look at Hassan as a positive story. Bounced around after being in the league, found his way back. I mean, the guy played in Lebanon and ended up being a triple-double with blocks. And you look at his career, all five seasons, he averaged a double-double when he played for the Heat. I mean, he, to me, is a good story that, unfortunately, with the big contract, the way the league has changed, just didn't work out. But I think, put it this way, to answer your question, I think it's good that they moved on because I think they've got Bam, who's a unique player with his skill set, and I think they need to feature him at that role. But I wish Hassan the best in Portland, man. I hope he does well.
Yeah, I'm with you, Will, on that one. Will Mansell joining us here, sports director at Local 10 on 560 WQAM. Will, what's next? I know that, you know, Channing mentioned accurately that Jimmy Butler coming here, and now this opens up other possibilities. We've seen some rumors and some rumblings about interest in Bradley Beal. The question is whether the Wizards are actually interested in getting rid of him. But what do you make of some of those rumors and the possibility of taking on a John Wall contract in the process?
You know, that's a great question because I think that's been the hot rumor the last couple of days, right? And there's no doubt that I think the Wizards at some point are going to look to move him. I just don't see what moving him now does. You know, to me, you want to move Bradley Beal. He's still a couple of years away from free agency. You want to move him when there's a market that's easy to move him. Meaning there's a lot of teams, a lot of money moving around, trying to figure things out, trying to make moves. You don't want to limit yourself to just, hey, the Heat are out there wanting him. I think if you're the Heat, you have to inquire. And whether that includes John Wall or the package, man, that's a tough question. His contract is enormous. And he was actually one of my favorite players to watch in the league pre-injury. I love the way he plays, but you have to wonder the explosion. What's he going to be like after that kind of injury? 4 years at over $40 million a year. When you think of that, you kind of want to slow it down. Now, could the Heat get involved? Yeah, if Bradley Beal's involved, I think they've got to listen. I think they've got to make the call. But I think they're more focused right now on seeing what they're going to do with Gordon as an expiring contract. Could they move him, save themselves a little room with the hard cap and all these things they're dealing with, they're looking at, you know, they're trying to work their way around. There's a lot of things that they may do as far as Ryan Anderson and stretching them. I think they've got to figure that out first. And we all know what the first shoe to drop is. I mean, you got to find out what happens with Kawhi Leonard. You know, once Kawhi picks wherever he's going to go, there will be teams that maybe can facilitate that sort of move I was just talking about. And I think the Heat go from there. But I will say this, Pat Riley always thinks big. So any talk of Bradley Beal or these guys, none of it shocks me because you know he wants more.
And Will, I got to get to the summer league. 5 of 10 from behind the line, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 24 minutes, primary ball handler. Tyler Hero. Like, Will, tell me how excited can I really get about the first game of a rookie for summer league?
Well, I think with the first game, first of all, we always get excited. I remember seeing Bam. We thought Bam was Will Chamberlain this first game, in his first couple games of summer league. And granted, Bam's been great, but you got to kind of have to set the cap of what a guy could be. And I think the one thing you see with Tyler Hero right away that I think should make fans excited is we all thought the same thing. You know, I haven't talked to you guys since draft night, but I'm assuming you thought the same thing. Ooh, man. Kind of a role player shooter. Is that really what he is? Is that what you need at 14? Couldn't you have got something else? Maybe a potential impact player, you know? And Riley and those guys said, look, we've got a guy that we believe in because in this league, you need this kind of player. And trust me, he can be more than a shooter. He can be a facilitator. He can drive. He can play defense. He's got that energy. And I think what you see is now with Jimmy Butler on board, you need those guys. You need that guy that can shoot in this league. And man, he's not afraid to let it go and let it fly. And you get excited about that possibility. You need that bulldog out there taking those shots, not afraid to just fling it. We've seen it through the years, and we see it now in this NBA. Every championship team needs a guy like that. So there's nothing wrong with, before you're really a championship team, getting that piece first and then build the stars from within, you know, get those stars later. So I'm excited. The guy can shoot, and that's the one commodity in this league that doesn't get old.
Yeah, and I'm just glad that Tyler Hero is not the only exciting thing we're talking about for the Heat this offseason, right? Like, that's among the exciting things that we've detailed during this interview. And, Will, I do want to apologize to you before you start this 4th of July weekend that we started things off by telling you about a butt foot. I mean, I know...
What are you talking about? I'm in the Channelton parking lot just dying to hang up so I can run inside and see it.
All right, well, we look forward to hearing what your reaction is once you see the pictures. So, Will, thank you very much. An early happy 4th of July to you. We encourage everybody to follow him on Twitter, at Will Mantz, of course. Watch him on Local 10 every night as a sports director. Thanks so much, Will.
Anytime, guys. Have a great holiday weekend.
All right. You too. There he is, Will Manso, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Man, you have started a firestorm, Janet.
What?
Just the whole oddity that is involved with this butt foot. I did tweet it out. You can check it out, at Greg Likens, GREGLIKENS. We have photographic evidence of your skin graft from your butt on top of your foot. There's hair on it. It's absolutely disgusting, but it's also like I feel like you should be on tour with a circus or something, right? Where they've got, you know, kind of the strange things going on with people. You could be fit right in with that.
Greg, I'm different. I'm just a different guy. I'm not built like everybody else.
No, you're not.
Different human.
In multiple ways.
Yes.
And we appreciate you for just who you are. How about that?